Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist. And finally, what is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
Doritos are of this world. That's a myth.
Yes. They landed here on an asteroid.
They're not real.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You like Doritos?
I do. That's why I can't eat. Like, it's like the perfect amount.
Perfect amount. Yeah. Could you eat a family size bag?
Without a doubt. Like, and when like some good queso or something like that.
Oh, fuck. You right. Double up.
Come on, man.
Come on, man. You're looking.
If we're going to sin. Right. You know, I just don't want to
fully dive in.
Yeah, we're not just going to have oral sex.
Right. Let's do this. Yeah. Let's breach the castle walls. Mm-hmm.
Nacho cheese Doritos with Green Mountain Gringo salsa is one of my favorite combos.
What's Green Mountain Gringo salsa?
Medium. It's just a salsa that I really like.
Sell it here?
In LA? Like Ralph's. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
It's just one of my favorite salsas.
Does it say gringo on it?
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, at least I know.
Yeah.
It puts off anyone who wants salsa. They're like, gringo, we don't want that.
I'll take it. Give it to me.
There was actually, on that food blog, The Takeout, they posited the question to their staff, is it nacho cheese or Cool Ranch, the superior Dorito?
I gotta go.
And they were deadlocked.
Nacho cheese.
Because I think Cool Ranch gives you such a weird feeling in your mouth, like tasting your mouth afterwards.
The zing?
Yeah.
That's what we call the zing, Jack.
Right. The zing ends up at like maybe 3 minutes after you've eaten it, making it feel like you've sucked on a battery or something.
Oh, like a warhead.
To me, the proper way to eat the Cool Ranch is in the sandwich itself.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. As a sandwich accessory?
Yeah.
Well, like inside the sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Accent.
Yeah, because
what kind of
you said, it's
with
too much.
Cool Ranch Doritos.
Fucking anything.
Subway,
anything you'd put ranch on, bro.
Yeah, anything you would eat it with, like any kind of sandwich you would eat it with, you just put it in there.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I'm always nacho cheese, but then I have Cool Ranch, and I go, you know what? This one isn't bad, too.
That's like chocolate and vanilla.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you kind of need
every
the
now and then
you
do chocolate, and you're like, oh shit,
vanilla, hey, mm-hmm. especially yeah. vanilla bean, hey,
oh
hey,
vanilla bean,
hey, all right,
come on,
the new show, Snack Daddies.
That reminds me, my wife did this bit because I like vanilla, and she was like, are you like a psychopath? Like, why you just eat the vanilla? And she was like, that's pretty funny. I'm gonna do it on stage. I was like, I wouldn't, because I think I'm pretty normal.
Right.
And she did it, and it bombs so hard. I was like, I think there's a reason it's one of the popular flavors.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
And she was like, I didn't think, I didn't tell her that. I was like, this is going to be funny.
You're like, could you just wait to do that until I'm around?
So funny.
That's awesome.
What is something that's underrated?
Man.
Men?
Jamie. Yeah, oh. Men. I am a men's rights activist. Surprise. I tricked Anna.
Now debate me, coward. Yeah. To Jamie. Debate me, Jamie.
You think you're so smart with your Mensa? To debate an average man.
Yeah, but to own you with facts and logic.
I care about my feelings.
You referenced tinfoil hat. Mm-hmm. I think what's underrated is what I used to think were really crazy conspiracy theories. Like I've had friends that have been telling me for years that all the world's elite are pedophiles, and I was like, that sounds crazy, but maybe like, they were right this whole time.
Oh yeah,
looking at these lists, you're like, huh?
I'm like, man, that is everyone you told me was a pedophile.
Right. Jeez.
Like I've been told that like. I've been told crazy things about Bill Clinton my whole life, but I thought it was just because I grew up in a red state, you know? But
yeah, I mean, God, see, that's why this whole Jeffrey Epstein thing, I bring it all out. Bring it. I want to see it all.
That is
We need to get to the bottom of this shit.
That is the funny thing is you're seeing like a lot of more like right-leaning people that are like, well, what about when one of your people comes out?
And everyone's like,
everyone on the left's like, yeah, please, take them all.
The fires are being stoked and ready.
Yeah. And it's in like every area of rich people too. Every genre of rich, like there. If you haven't seen An Open Secret, have you guys seen An Open Secret? That's the documentary from a couple years ago by Amy Berg about like Hollywood specific pedophile, and like it couldn't get a theatrical release really because it was like such a controversial subject.
Oh shit! I gotta see that.
She's like an Oscar winning director, and she couldn't get it.
Right, released, right, right.
But it's like it's so prevalent. I mean, we're talking Perlman today.
Yeah, and this is like Abuseville too.
It is, especially
the carrot of fame is used to just manipulate the fuck out of people.
I still am just like, how is Dan Schneider not in jail? Like, there's so many people who belong in jail and they're not.
Damn. Hey, it's coming, wild, man.
It's coming, maybe.
It's coming.
Yeah, I mean, it's coming out, and it's just like, I feel like a lot of things are just coming to the surface. That's why everything's so crazy. It's just like we're at the cauldron is bubbling. It's reached peak boil, and we're just like all standing around like, oh God, it's going to blow.
The devil's butt crack is throbbing.
Yeah.
the devil's.
The devil's balloon knots inside out.
I can tell, man. The devil's windsock. Now. What is a myth? What's something that you, I forget how Jack words it, but what's a myth, man? What's a myth you could just bust?
Okay, so this kind of blew my mind, and it's kind of a string of thought that leads to a couple quotes that we've been misusing for years. So my girl and I were kind of talking about this whole basic idea that millennials are like ungrateful or lazy.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just talking about how really it's more that we're so inundated with options that no one can feel contentment. Because it's just we're so constantly aware of what we don't have or what the other thing we could be doing. Like my grandparents had a beautiful marriage. They were married for like 65 years. But it's also like
that's a myth.
She was just
65.
Yeah, what if that was my myth? I would like to break the myth that my grandparents had a good marriage.
Yeah.
It's like a very petty. It's like, whoa.
Is this a Thanksgiving conversation?
I mean, any grandparents courting story is the scariest thing I've ever heard.
Oh yeah.
my grandparents met via my grandfather catcalling my grandmother.
In a parking lot.
Yeah, she had like a much younger sibling. She was like, you know, walking the baby around. She's a teenager. And my grandfather tailgated her, pulled up to her. It was like, hey, that your baby? And then they were married for 500 years.
Hey, that your baby?
And she was
yo,
like,
that your baby? Yo, ma!
That your baby?
That your baby?
He's like, no, what are you doing this weekend?
You looking dumb thing. Wow. Okay, so go on.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was just, we were just talking, but it's like also they didn't have like Facebook, you know, where all of a sudden that girl that you kind of missed with in high school hits you up 20 years later. Like, I've been thinking about you, you know, right. Like he didn't have to deal with any of that shit. She didn't have to deal with any of that shit.
Options are limited.
So anyway, we were just talking about like, there's all these quotes that we've just been misusing. Uh-huh. And honestly, to the opposite effect. So like, for instance, did you know blood is thicker than water? The full saying is actually the blood of the covenant is thicker than the water of the womb, which basically means the opposite. So it's basically the bonds that you choose to make mean much more than the bonds that you're born into. But we literally say it like blood is thicker than water. Like,
yeah, like blood over everything.
Yeah, blood over everything. But it's really like because your friends will adapt with you, it flows more like water. So like blood is slower to move. So your family's right. not going to change.
Wow.
So you create your own family that's like-minded and you guys are now moving like a hive. And
so
you're
it's
water.
Actually like an insult to say blood is thicker than water.
Exactly.
Like, wow.
And we've been saying it like that for
amazing.
Years.
Dumb.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
And then the other one is they say jack of all trades, master of none, right? Mm-hmm. Which is like if you focus on a bunch of things, you won't be great at anything. But the full saying is jack of all trades, master of none, but maybe that's better than a master of one. So basically, a jack of all trades would beat a master at most things because a master is only good at one thing. So if you're good at 10 things, you're going to beat the master at 9 things.
Yo, this is a real thank you.
That's man.
Wow.
I'm smiling.
Now yeah, I can crazy? Fucking be like, that's fuck amazing. You, family.
Yeah. I'm like,
I'm with water now.
The next person to call me a multi-hyphenate is getting kicked in the head.
You don't fucking get the origin,
fuck
homie.
You don't know the end of the phrase.
Oh, you're just a master at Super Smash Brothers. Okay. I'm a little bit good at many other things as well. Hell yeah. Okay, that was empowering.
Yeah, you guys
was
feel amazing. Good?
Yeah, that was a fucking...
I just wanted to share that great. Feeling with you.
Motherfucking paradigm shift.
Yeah.
I think we need a new drop for paradigm shifts.
Shifting the paradigm.
DJ Dan, just go in the lab and marinate on that.
That's what those earthquakes were, baby, was just the paradigm shifting.
Yeah, see, the devil's butt provides.
And it giveth and it taketh away.
Mm-hmm. Jamie?
Miles?
How is MenCon?
Okay, so
give us a quick update. What's going on?
Quick update. I'm not gonna go crazy on the recap, but I do feel like, you know, I've been talking to Zygang.
Yeah,
about
people
this
know
story
about
for over a year now.
Yeah, you are a Mensan.
Yes,
you've written things about Mensa.
Yes, I've been.
I'll let you just tell your story. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
God, just making space. Yeah. Here. So basically, if you're not familiar, that's great, honestly.
That's great.
Took the Mensa entry exam as a joke. Turned out to not be.
Turned out I was a genius.
Turns out, and I genuinely do believe this, turns out the test is way easier than they tell you, and it's kind of a grift.
Hot take.
I truly believe, like, a lot of people, almost anyone could pass this test, I think, if you grew up taking standardized tests,
sure,
which
okay.
most of us did. If you did well in your standardized tests in elementary school, you'll probably do well in these. Either way, wrote about it as a joke, got in as a joke, was writing some kind of goofy pieces under the assumption that the group was all, you know, kind of a bunch of like rich liberal nerds.
Yeah, sure.
So kind of poking at that. Then turns out it was a way more complicated organization than I realized. There were a lot of secret Facebook groups that were
toxic.
I'm trying to remain. I'm like 12,000 words deep into this story, and it is.
Have you said that many words already?
Way more bizarre.
Oh, you're writing. Okay.
Oh.
I thought you had spoken 12,000 words just
no,
now.
No, although I am going Crofton viral
you're
right
Crofton
now.
You're Crofton viral on that cold brew.
On the cold brew. But long story short, there are all these secret groups, especially this one unmoderated one, who found my work and immediately were like, you know, like there were threats, there were insults. It was just kind of the general person online.
Yeah, you poked a cultural beehive online.
Right.
And then the response.
So I just started writing about that. I stopped making fun of it and started reporting on it. Things kind of spiraled out. I like met people who were very high up in American Mensa and they were like, yeah, we're not going to shut this group down because people like it, even though it's extremely right-leaning, a lot of racist stuff in there, a lot of anything phobic,
right.
It's in that group. And they'll specifically target members of the group they don't agree with and mass block them and basically make the group inaccessible. So it was requested that I go to the annual gathering.
Of the Juggalos.
Of the Juggalos. But it was in Phoenix this year, so it was 3 days, 3 nights, 72 hours of Mensa, 110 degrees minimum the whole time because we're in fucking Phoenix.
Yeah.
And it was like truly one of the most bizarre experiences I've ever had, where I wasn't expecting for, like, I had a name tag on, and I think I was confronted for good, bad, somewhere in between by minimum 100 people.
Wow.
Just like it was
because you've been kind of, you're sort of a pariah in the Mensa community, no?
Well, but I didn't anticipate to, like,
no, of course, this. But yeah, but I know, like, you definitely, people knew the name Jamie Loftus in certain circles.
Sure, but I mean, I was assuming I could kind of
right
slink, you know, not slink around, but they asked me basically the criticism of me, besides the fact that I'm an ugly cunt who doesn't know what I'm talking about. Outside of that very valid criticism, the criticism was that I, you know, prejudged the organization before I got to know them, which, so I was like, okay, fine, I'll go and, you know, I'll talk to people and, you know, fine. And yeah, I met, I've never, like, it, there were multiple times where I was in a room full of people who had blocked me online. They knew exactly who I was. I had no way of knowing who any of them were.
Ooh, that's, ooh.
And it was just a series of in-person interactions.
Right.
I mean, some of them
were light confrontations. Yeah.
I mean, some of them were pleasant conversations, and then I would hear from a second party after, like, oh, that person has said really, like, hideous things about you that,
whoa,
that I can't see because.
Right.
So it was just like a very weird translating from online to IRL situation. I was kind of surprised that there were a few members who, they were so aggressive towards me that I knew who they were.
Whoa, right, right.
Which means that they went out of their way to go out of the blocking and contact me directly.
Sure.
And there were a few people I met who got, like, I think surprisingly vulnerable with, like, why they felt a certain way about a certain thing. And I still disagree with most of it, but it was like, I don't know. I got invited to this dinner at, like, Scottish Hooters in Phoenix.
That's called Tilted Kilt.
It is called Tilted Kilt, but Scottish Hooters. And I ended up talking to all these people.
That's amazing that Mensa meetings are at the Tilted Kilt.
Yeah, they're like, we're gonna go to Tilted Kilt later.
We're an intellectual. Meet me at the Buffalo Wing Bar.
It was a massive. I mean, there were 2,000 people at the Sheraton in Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
Doing this and the daytime, I mean, the lectures during the day were mostly stupid and hilarious, where there was comedy workshops run by 80-year-old professors.
Comedy workshops?
I went to 3 comedy-themed workshops.
What? When, how? Why? Why do they need comedy worked on in a shop?
I don't know, but I don't think that they were helped by the programming available. There, my favorite one was called Because Science is Cool, Young Sheldon, The Big Bang Theory, and You. It was cute.
By CBS.
But yeah, sponsored by CBS. No, it was, I mean, I'd never seen a room full of full-grown adults recite a scene from The Big Bang Theory from memory and then laugh their heads off.
Wow.
But it was, I mean, it was, I am going to write something about it. It's taking a long time because there's more to write about than I anticipated. I don't know. It was truly like one of the most bizarre weekends I've ever had, and I still don't even know how I feel about
it. Well, I can't wait for you to finish this very long piece you've been working on, because it sounds like it has everything.
It was a very strange experience that I guess that I'll reach my conclusion at some point, but it's so long. It's so much stuff.
What is something you think is underrated?
Underrated, I would say Gloria, who is the cashier at my local El Pollo Loco.
Mm.
She does a wonderful job. Like, she makes me have a great day every time I go in there. And I know that part of it is, like, she's just the face of the delicious chicken that I get. And, like, mm-hmm. the people in the back who, like, season the chicken, they're probably doing all the hard work. But, you know, she just greets me with a smile every day. She really is, like, the best cashier of any place that I've ever had.
Right.
That's awesome.
I feel like we have a very it's an important relationship in my life.
And doesn't make you feel bad for eating El Pollo Loco every day.
No. And not only that, she does the thing where she, you know, they're reading like off a script where they have to like try and upsell you things. Mm-hmm. But she does it with such a smile and such like a pleasant attitude that I don't begrudge her like trying to get me to sign up for the El Pollo Loco app and, or try some, you know, chips and guacamole for $2 extra.
And but do you ever fall victim to the upsell?
Absolutely not, no.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, no.
Just have as you, kindly back, you're like, yeah. Aww, I think no, not Gloria.
Yeah.
Do you want to put this on your El Pollo Loco American Express? Or wait, you have one of those, don't you?
Don't you?
You don't have?
I mean, I should.
You have an open.
If I was getting points for that, it would be one of like the most positive, effective ways I could use those.
I'm really surprised, Vince, and I can call you Vince, right?
Absolutely,
because
yes.
I know how frequently you come in here, and if you just sign up, right, you actually get 10,000 free Pollo Bucks just for signing up. And that translates to, well, the way you eat, probably about a month's worth of free food.
Well, all right. On that note, we're going to go to a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And we're back. Finally, what is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
Oh, man. I forgot this part of the thing. Lefty-loosey, righty-tighty.
Yeah, not always true.
Not always true. Sometimes the contractor just blows it. In fact, in my apartment, they put the cold and the hot on the wrong side in my shower, and I think they did it like just to screw with me.
And it's righty-loosey?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, also...
Oh.
It's not that.
Ow.
It's like a world gone mad.
We need a rhyme that is like clockwise versus counterclockwise, because it's not really obvious. Like I always have to like think about it and be like, well, they mean the top is going in that direction, not because that's why we have clockwise versus counterclockwise, is because we haven't decided like one means right and the other means left. So like come up with a better one.
The top goes right and the bottom goes left.
If it's clockwise. Threaded the right way, it's always going to turn that way, no?
You no, have but to I'm invert just saying
the threading for that.
The bottom part is going left, though, on a circular thing. It's sure. Circle.
I mean,
it's circle, Miles.
Right.
I don't think you can say a perfect circle that is turning in place is going to the right or left. It's going clockwise or counterclockwise.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So fuck off, man.
Wait,
all right?
How could it? But if you fixed a point on the outside of a circle, you would very much be able to tell if it's going. You're just saying in relation to, because we don't have a vertical line that actually differentiates between right and left.
Right.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess I never thought so deeply about it. I just twist the fucking thing.
Yeah.
But I like how it's sort of philosophical. Like, how could we know, though?
Is right. there like a calculus term for this that we're just too dumb to know?
Probably. Almost definitely there is a
math
answer.
Math gang, let us know how dumb we sound right now.
Right.
Shit's
I think not... I might be the only one who sounds dumb here. I think everyone's like, what are you talking about?
Vince is gobsmacked at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, I started around this like, discussion. I blame myself.
Wait, but then that I'm guessing for this thing to hold true that if it's lefty tighty, that would mean it's completely inverted. Like even the way the shit's threaded,
yeah, it's just
no?
installed backwards or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not I don't a know. Look,
what are we, scientists? You know? No.
No, we're not.
No, we're not.
Hey.
Just got word in, we're not confirmed from the booth.
I can confirm.
Okay, we are not fucking scientists.
But let's talk about this employee who was interviewed for Wired, who has a background as a CIA officer turned Facebook employee.
Yeah. And this woman, Yael Eisenstadt, I think is her name. Yael Eisenstadt. Yes, worked for the CIA, was a diplomat in East Africa, advisor to Vice President Biden, and before that. And then came because they were like, hey, we have an election meddling problem. Do you want to check it out? And she joined as head of global elections integrity ops. And that was meaning like, hey, you're in the CIA. You get it. You know how this shit works. Like, what can we be doing to like safeguard democracy around the world?
Which is the CIA's number one job.
Number one priority.
The thing they're most famous for is safeguarding democracy.
Safeguarding oil profits.
With now, targeted assassinations.
Targeted assassinations, and yes. And if we have to use jackals, we'll do that. Mm-hmm. But then on day two, she realized that the job probably wasn't going to be all that chill because she was like instantly there. Like her boss was like, yeah, I think we're changing it up a little bit based on like what we need. And we're just going to make you a manager for now. And she's like, I'm from the fuck what? Okay. So when they asked her, she goes on this interview. She says, quote, once I walked in that door, I was never once empowered to do the work I was hired to do. And in fact, more than not being empowered, I was purposefully sidelined. It's Facebook. Everyone talks about it being a flat organization. Everybody talks about how anybody can go talk to anybody. It was never that way for me. My boss intentionally never let me participate in any of the meetings that were specifically about the job I was hired to do. So you're like, huh. That's interesting. Well, what else did they do? Like, what kind of stuff they do in foreign interference? Her first part was just sort of like, they just kind of did the bare minimum, which isn't much. But she says the foreign interference part, this might sound odd, but should be the easiest part to fix. Of course, people can always game it, but there are basic tools you can put in place. There were advertisers who paid in rubles. Those are things that shouldn't have been that hard to figure out. That was like her day one analysis. Like, you accept rubles? Okay, so why don't we do that? And I think maybe that's when she was asked, like, do you think you were just a publicity stunt? She didn't think she was, but I think, or she didn't believe she was, but as her work became clearer, I think that's when she realized that any suggestion she made was going to butt up against what the business model is of all of these social media platforms. And she's very clear, it's not just about Facebook or Google or Twitter or YouTube, whatever. This is just how all social media works. And I think this is what's very interesting and something that we deeply need to consider. Quote, the business model is to keep you engaged. It's not even a question of whether advertising is bad or good. It's a question of what do they have to do to keep you engaged long enough to get those ads in front of your eyeballs. Their tools are doing what they can to keep us engaged, which is taking us down more and more extreme rabbit holes, which is polarizing us more and more because the salacious talking points and salacious clickbaity headlines are what keep people's eyeballs on their screens. And the more and more you can keep us outraged, keep us angry, keep us polarized, it just makes it much easier for Russia to come in and exploit that. For me, the biggest issue is to fix a business model that intentionally feeds on the worst part of who we are as humans. And yes, people can say, isn't it just human beings? Is it Facebook or Google or Twitter or YouTube's fault that people love this stuff? It's not their fault, but they're absolutely manipulating it and exacerbating it and getting into our psychology in order to keep us on their screen. So I can't buy the, isn't it just human nature argument?
Right. They're engineering things to manipulate human nature.
And now, yeah, to the point where it's like, well, fuck, I guess if we keep turning, adding spice to the recipe,
right,
it will just, it's already starting to burn. But if it's like, nah, man, I guess we need spicier shit to get people fucking going to keep, so I can serve you an ad for Shambong, right, or whatever the fuck it is.
Right.
But I think that's really, yeah, I think that's the, that's part of the business model that I think legislators also have to look at of like, oh, you're purely guided by, I need advertisers to buy ads. The only way I can make our platform attractive to advertisers by saying I can keep idiots staring at this fucking thing for X hours at a time.
Yeah. There's this book, Good to Great, that's like this guy did a study on companies that had like sustained success. And one of the like main things he says they all have in common is called the hedgehog principle, which is like they know one thing, like they just always have the same sort of core value at the heart of everything they do. So like with, I forget what the, like Gillette was one of the companies, and like it was like some manner of like shave, like staying focused on being the best in the world at like providing like shaving things. So with Facebook, like it seems like the entire like DNA of the country, of the company, is built on, you know, is built counter to actually like protecting people's privacy,
yeah,
and not manipulating them and not making it easy for them to be manipulated.
Right.
So it doesn't, like, you can't just put a single person in there and change like the molecular structure of the company. Like,
yeah,
that's just not,
it's an organism.
They, mm-hmm, everything about it is built to be a successful company that makes money. And the way they do that is the opposite of what we are asking them to do. So it's not going to come from within. Like, they would either need to be dismantled, or you would need to put like a government agency inside the company that like regulates them and is like sitting in on their meetings,
yeah, like
or something.
Their ad,
it would
business
have to be like totally unprecedented.
Yeah. And the funny thing, like the one thing that she was saying, like based on her working there and understanding, like seeing like, oh, their whole thing is to know what the fuck you want to see and just keep accelerating your need to keep looking. And that's where she was like, yeah, I'm in this unique position where I've worked at the CIA, and I can tell you, Facebook knows fucking way more about you than even the CIA does. So
that's troubling.
Yeah.
Because the CIA knows a lot about me.
Yeah. They do.
How'd you wind up on their screens, man?
Yeah. Oh, he used to run this really weird Tumblr.
Oh, yeah. That'll get him?
Real weird. Yeah.
A lot of weird, wacky stuff on there.
We all saw that's not to say everyone did, but the people that like, even the Lego movie, all these things that are about like dystopian sort of futures, and everyone went, okay, just kind of keep a heads up. There were people that were late adopters to phones and then smartphones, people that were late joining Facebook or any of those social media platforms to be like, God damn it, all my friends are gone. I'm either going to just live out here in the woods rubbing sticks together and never see anyone.
Right.
I got to kind of join the hive. And it became like inescapable for us.
Yeah.
So it felt like, no, we'll all kind of monitor each other. Like, hey, keep an eye out. Big Brother,
right?
Have we all read that?
Right.
And now it's just so, we're so immersed in it. It's so oppressive that we're like,
now I'm Little Brother.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
And it just seems absolutely impossible. Like you're talking about, like, we need someone to come and regulate it. That'll never happen.
Right.
We have no power to do that, to in any way hold them accountable.
Right.
When there are hundreds of billions of dollars.
And if you remember when Zuckerberg went up to testify in front of Congress, these motherfuckers don't know what they don't know what the fuck this is.
Right.
Like, those congressmen were like,
My granddaughter got a game that said I was racist.
Right. Like, well, you are Steve King. Right. So what the fuck do you want me to do? Exactly. But like, even then, we don't even have the legislators that are equipped with the idea, like conceptually what this is and what the potential is of this kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that's where we're like, oh, man. And then she and this CIA, former CIA person, former Facebook employee, even pointed to that. She's like, yeah, I don't even know if Congress is fucking equipped to even conceptually get down to what this is.
But she was like, we need a targeted assassination to take care of right. this problem.
She's like, yeah, calling a jackal. If we can't smear Zuckerberg with compromat, then maybe he shouldn't fly private too much. The thing about do you have friends who have who are not on Facebook? I have one friend who has avoided MySpace, every fucking social media
like
thing.
Like the whole, oh, okay.
He's a ghost.
Huh.
He is not fucking available on this shit. And like I commend him because now it wasn't even like him being like, oh, I don't know. He was just sort of like, what do I got to do? Yeah. Sign up? I don't even know how to get a fucking picture on my computer. Nah, I'm good.
Right.
And then like now I'm like, this guy's got it all figured out.
Yeah.
But it's funny. Like I feel like there are kinds of people who are so suspicious that never engaged in it. And then people like my friend who was just too lazy and didn't care enough about technology to be interested in it.
Yeah.
Until he was trying to use Tinder and he's like, you need a Facebook account. And he's like, fuck it. I'm just going to use OkCupid then.
Right.
I don't need it.
Nice. Good for him.
Yeah. I like his style.
No, I mean, I barely fuck with Facebook, but I do fuck with other social media platforms.
It does seem like young people make fun of people who have Facebook, which is at least a little bit uplifting.
Yeah.
But they're going to age into a category where they go, oh, I want to see everyone's baby photos. They're going to merge into it where, because you see all that stuff, like Snapchat is such a great thing for the temporary nature of existence.
Yeah.
Like they're living a life kind of knowing. The previous generation was like, that was your great-grandmother's table, so you own that now, and you have to keep it forever. And you're like, it means nothing to me. It takes up a lot of space.
Right.
Right.
But it's been in the family. And the younger people are like, oh, I had this photo. It was the greatest day of my life. It disappeared.
Right.
I'll never see it again. Such is life.
Yes.
What's next? What's the next thing? I'm in the present. So potentially that could be – I mean, of course, there's still ways to – data mine all of your stuff and sell your information with that. But it's a little less like every time people sit down and type anything on Facebook, they're saying, here's where I am. Here's what I like. Here's how you can market to me.
And that's what
and
I
now
think.
Now you know that
that's
forever.
What I think. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. This never goes away.
And this
well,
is
that's why
ephemeral.
I've been saying Snapchat is an entire philosophy. It's not just a platform.
Yeah, man. It's all about the ephemeral, man.
yeah, it was interesting. I heard an interview with Janine Garofalo where she like still has the like mindset of like somebody in the late 90s who's like, I don't really fuck with computers, but like, you know, for like good like reasons that at the time might have seemed paranoid, but now, but like it was just wild because I was like, oh yeah, I haven't heard somebody like this since I was like 10 years old. Like people just like stopped having this concern. Everyone was just like, yeah, we joined. Like,
yeah,
everything's good now. But she was like, yeah, I don't really do computers and like I don't put anything on the internet. And I was like, what a loser.
How
but now
know who
I'm
you
like
are?
2 years in retrospect, I'm like, oh, okay.
How are you going to get those likes?
For years, I didn't have any of the stuff. And I sent out a mailing list through my website starting in like maybe 2007 or 8, something like that. And then it finally like avalanched where I couldn't reach out and get in touch with people.
Yeah.
They were only available through the network. So I was like, damn, you used to be able to like search them or go to their website or something like, or you might even have someone's actual phone number written down. And then, so I'm doing a bunch of stand-up shows coming up and I sent out the mailing list for the first time in like 2 years. It felt fantastic. It was just this feeling of like, that's how I'd love to communicate. Here's what I'm up to once a year or so. If you want to email me back, great. But I don't feel like it's healthy for humans to have to constantly be like, I'm not dead.
Right.
Here's the thing. I'm still alive.
I feel happy.
That is, I do feel like there are people who post a lot on social media. I do feel like that comes from an existential place of I'm not dead every time they post.
Oh,
like,
sure, yeah.
Yeah, I exist and I matter and sent.
And this is the version of me that you will accept.
Yes.
If I look at someone's thing and they have like 50,000 tweets, even if I like them, I will never follow. So you need something that I can't give you.
Right.
It's terrifying to me.
Yeah, this is coming from a place of deep, unnerving need.
Just scream into the void, man.
Yeah. Speaking of people with really weird dicks, Leonardo DiCaprio, I have no idea if he has a weird dick. Man, probably
you've
not.
Just been sued, Jack. He
probably has a gorgeous dick.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Hey.
Sorry.
No.
I mean,
that's, thank you.
I think that's my favorite joke that anybody's made on our podcast to this point. Anyway, Nard's dick, Caprio.
Nard dick.
Is still forced to answer questions about why Jack had to die at the end of Titanic. Like, so he's going around doing press for his upcoming, you know, artsy Quentin Tarantino movie, and people are like, so why didn't you just get on the door with Rose? Like, you could have fit. It was obvious.
Oh, like pivoting, like being like, and great. What was it like to work with Quentin Tarantino and Brad Pitt? Okay, and look, I gotta ask. Like, everyone's still harping on that?
To the point that, like, he's really, like, pissed about it. Like, Brad Pitt was with him on during this interview and was like, yeah, could you have squeezed in there? You could have, right? And Leonardo DiCaprio was like, no comment. And he was like, did you mention it at the time that, like, or Margot Robbie was like, yeah, did you mention that at the time to James Cameron? He was like I said, I have no comment.
Oh, God.
Why couldn't the boat just avoid the iceberg?
Right, exactly.
Could have been a chill film.
I think that's a stupid point, to be honest. The whole, like, he should have just gotten on the door because, like, it might not have floated. Like,
well, that's why this is such a hotly contested topic, right? Like, from people who made fucking diagrams of how they both could have fit their bodies on the door, and people were like, assuming their weight is this, and this is the buoyancy of this wood, like, people.
Right, but how do you assume that? So, Mythbusters did an episode about the door where they were like, the way he could have done it is to reinforce its buoyancy with a life vest, but that requires him to swim, like, while it's like 20 degree water, swim under the door and, like, put a life vest on there. And this is a point James Cameron had to make. He was like,
in response to that, he's like, you're talking about the Mythbusters thing, right?
Yeah. Oh, you're talking Mythbusters?
Well, let me bust this for you.
Yeah. So I agree with James Cameron on this and only this, to quote Titanic.
I mean, look, I think it's just one of those things where people were so pissed that he didn't have to die or something. Yeah. But, like, look, that's why it's a fucking drama, okay?
Right.
Just fucking suspend for a second. Just be like, yeah, maybe he just died, okay?
And that's James Cameron's it. Like, you guys know I pilot submarines, right? Like, you're going to ask me about this?
He's like, yeah, I fucking thought about it, man.
Oh, you want to talk water stuff? Let's talk water stuff.
I created new fucking sea tech. Fuck you. But, you know, I think more people are pissed about the necklace being thrown away.
I'm just mad about Rose committing adultery.
Right.
You know, wow.
No one talks about that.
Yep. You don't go to movies to not see lion dick, and you don't go to see acts of adultery.
Yeah, I don't want to go and watch a nice boat movie and then be tempted by infidelity.
Right.
Right.
By the fruit of another.
You know?
That was, for me, I didn't care as much about Jack Down. I was like, great, whatever. Like, sure, that's what happens in movies or whatever. Listen, like, it didn't make sense.
No, it made perfect sense. You know that guy would be a shitty husband.
Right.
It's like, oh, I'm such a lovable rogue drawing pictures of people. It's like, yeah. What job are you going to do?
Jack
in
definitely fucked at least three other women on the Titanic. Yeah.
During that dance sequence in steerage with all the Irish dancing, which you don't know, is she blinked her eyes and he was 69ing with the lady.
You think yours is the only handprint on this car window?
Yeah.
When you fog it up, it's a ton.
Over and all the other cars in steerage just have handprints all over them.
So much heat was coming off their genitals. Yeah. They just fogged the whole thing up.
I mean, that guy was, he was getting it in. There's no way he wasn't.
I also have a feeling like if they got off, like, A, she still would have been with Cal, right? Billy Zane?
Yeah.
Like, technically? Because didn't she say, like, she was still with him until he, like,
well,
like
she
took his own life or something?
Tried to shoot her?
Yeah. But she, at the end, she just pretends that she died and starts a completely new personality.
Oh, that's right. And then she just heard tell of Cal's fate where he shot himself after the market crashed in 29 or something.
Yes, I believe that's correct.
I mean, I would have liked if she gave Cal some weird like steerage STD from, you know, hooking up Red Jack. Like next thing you know, he's got like, you know, lice and all the crabs and stuff that you get from hanging out down there with all those people.
Well, all the
playing
pores.
The fiddle, yeah.
Yeah. I feel like, but then if they, Jack and Rose are together living a secret life, are they mad stressed because he's like, yo, dude, like, it's, I'm kind of paranoid because you're faked your own death. You got that wild ass necklace that's worth a lot of money. Like, I'm wanted, like, in France when I was drawing all those French girls, which is a euphemism.
Yeah.
And also, like, can I tell you more stories about me and Fabrizio? Because he was a chill dude.
There's no way that, that necklace would have gone unsold, unpawned if Jack had made it. He would have pawned that shit quick.
Oh, right. He gets like a bad like heroin addiction.
Oh, he would have had gambling debts for sure.
Yeah. Oh, man. See, that's the universe you need to explore. What happens if they get off the boat? She saws a necklace. Is Jack Dawson a good dude?
Right. It's also kind of fucked up for her husband because like she has grandkids and stuff and then she dies and goes to heaven and at the end of the movie and Jack is there.
She goes to heaven in the movie?
Yeah. Oh, okay. She does. I mean, she dies and like arrives and it's the ballroom full of Titanic passengers.
Oh shit, that does happen at
That does happen at the end of the movie.
Oh, wow. I forgot about that. I've not seen that shit in a minute.
So, but that means that like her husband, kids, grandkids are all like, "Yo, where is she?"
What
she's supposed to be here, and she's just like off
partying.
Oh, now
I'm on the
Jack.
Titanic, homie. Y'all don't know.
Yeah.
As if Jack hadn't been getting it in heaven that whole time.
Oh man.
Oh, she walks in on him in steerage with all the other women.
he's in heaven, and he's still in steerage.
She's like, I should have sold that necklace and started a nonprofit.
And when she walks in on him in steerage, she's just sitting back in the car with noise canceling headphones on, vaping. which is how Leonardo DiCaprio actually has sex allegedly.
That should be how Jack fucks then.
Yes.
In the heaven sequence, he's got AirPods in, vaping hardcore, and it's like, just do your thing, girl.
Not AirPods, bro. Noise canceling headphones. So that he can just totally zone out.
That's right. Listening to MGMT's electric feel.
Yes.
my friend was driving people he went to Coachella. And he was like watching a concert and he looked over and he sees this like, he was sort of like this very attractive woman sort of caught his eye. And then he looked over and he's like, why is she making out with that really gross, like fat, just disheveled looking dude? And he's looking and he realizes it's Leonardo DiCaprio. And like at a certain point, apparently like Leonardo DiCaprio like left and the girl was like still like dancing, like waiting for him to come back. And he's like, yeah, I was there for like 2 hours and she was still in the same spot,
right,
just like waiting for Leo to come back. And she probably was dancing by herself there all day.
Little did she know, he went to steerage.
Yeah.
Which in Coachella is the doolab.
Yeah. I don't even know what that is.
It's a Coachella joke for the homies.
I pretended like I got it, but I didn't.
Yeah. The real plot hole, like you said, our writer Jan was pointing out that she really did not have to throw that. Like, how much did they say it was worth, the diamond?
It was like the rarest diamond on Earth, basically, to that point.
Hundreds of millions of dollars, and she, like, threw it out for romantic reasons, like, as opposed to just, like, selling it and feeding a village for the rest of time.
Her kids are like, I had to take out student loans.
Right.
What the hell?
Yeah.
There is, if you actually search, how much was the heart of the ocean worth?
Yeah.
It says, the very famous jeweler, Harry Winston, known for having owned the Hope Diamond and many other diamonds, made his own take on the heart of the ocean diamond using a real blue diamond, 15 carat. This piece is worth 10 times as much as the previous example, valued at 20 million. So, shit.
200 million.
I guess.
Mm-hmm. 20 times as much as the previous, which was 10 million.
As the previous example?
Yeah.
What is that? Is that meaning the real heart? Look, shit was worth a lot. Rose. You could have done something with it.
It's going to be hard to find a fence. It's like, yeah, we need someone who has $200 million to blow on
That's
a rock.
A good point. Very good point.
Huh. Well, I don't know if I have a buyer for that. Let me look.
All right. We're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And we're back. All right, let's talk about Sylvester Stallone.
Finally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, you know.
Don't I got rice?
Hey, don't I got rice? Hey, you know. I got freaking rice, you know.
Miles' five-word impression.
Only can say, don't I got rice. I don't think I could do anything
but
else.
But he can say the hell out of that phrase.
Yeah.
He wants to reboot Rocky.
Again?
Somehow.
He did that.
Right. Like, Creed was a great movie, and... You know, Creed 2, I haven't seen, but...
Creed 2, Electric Boogaloo, yeah, it was pretty good.
But
he's
like,
73
he was,
years
the
old.
The last thing we saw,
wow,
he was...
Wow, really?
Yeah, he's 73. There's no way that... I mean, the point of a Rocky movie is that Rocky fights at the end of the Rocky movie.
Yeah, but now he's fighting against osteoporosis.
Right.
And so that'll
just
be really
drinking
tight.
Drinking a lot of calcium.
Yeah, I mean, so in this one... They said, so he did an interview interview recently where he talked about a lot of things. Mm. But when they talked about a sequel, Stallone says, there's a good chance that Rocky may write again. He then goes on to divulge the plot of the sequel, which involves, now get this shit, Rocky, quote, befriending a young street fighter living in the U.S. illegally.
What?
You know, Rocky meets a young angry person who got stuck in this country when he comes to see his sister. He takes him into his life, and an unbelievable adventure begins. And they wind up south of the border. It's very, very timely.
What the fuck is this?
I mean...
White fight savior? Fucking... What the...
73-year-old Rocky is, like, running around on, like, border crossing adventures.
Immigration advocate?
I can't believe he's 73.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. He looks amazing, right?
Does he? I don't even know.
Well, look, I mean, if you pump yourself up with enough HGH or whatever the fuck else.
I'm looking him up right now.
The fountain of youth.
Like a melting novelty candle.
I can only guess. He's like, yeah, you know, he's going to be Mexican, you know?
I mean, he has, so he had the perfect mind for the 80s because, like, so the idea of Rocky going to Russia to win the Cold War was just the right amount of cheesiness for the 80s. But
right.
Now, like, it's like too on the nose.
It's aggressive.
We're over it.
Yeah.
It's just, it doesn't work for the modern world.
Yeah, you know, he's going to go to Mexico and fight the Me Too Mafia. You
know? Yeah.
Fucking knock him out. Like, what the Me? Right. What? You know, all the fentanyl will bring it in.
Right.
I mean, the Me Too stuff, you know, so you're going to fight him.
Like, okay. The other thing is, though, he wants to do a TV prequel series. This guy's trying to bite the whole fucking apple.
Right.
Wow.
But this is where he was like, but I can't do that because, A, he doesn't even own the intellectual property rights to anything having to do with Rocky.
What?
He was fucking hoodwinked out of his IP rights to Rocky. He fucking he created Rocky, right?
Oh my
right.
God.
The fucking writer of it.
That's a pretty common thing, actually.
Yeah.
Well, but, yeah, he wrote it when he was a nobody in Hollywood and, like,
right.
sold it to the studio. Like, the studio didn't even want him to be the person in it, and he, like, had to basically put his foot down and be like, look, you can have the intellectual property. Just let me...
Let me fight, you know?
Let me look tough.
Mm. But I think, the producer who does have the rights, Erwin Winkler... like has a good relationship with Sylvester Stallone, so he's the one who's always been like, okay, like, yeah, let's do another one, maybe not this prequel thing. But also, you know, I'm like old guy meeting a young angry kid fighter is also Creed,
right?
Yeah, so, it's like gotta get a little more Creed.
Hey, but you know, Mexican this time.
Yes.
It's know, different.
I hear they come out and see the movies.
Rocky is also based on, like, so Stallone went and saw this fight where a guy named Chuck Wepner basically, like, made it to the last round with Muhammad Ali. And so Rocky's essentially a true story, and Sylvester Stallone just, like, never gave this guy credit. And, like, at first he was like, yeah, it's based on Chuck Wepner, and then people were like, shh, that's not, and he was like, it's not based on anyone, it's Rocky. Yeah, kind of fucked up. Chuck Wepner, like, signs boxing gloves in, like, a, you know, one-bedroom house for a living these days.
Oh, man, really?
Yeah.
And
one-bedroom house sounds pretty nice.
There you go, one-bedroom.
Yeah, it's actually beautiful. It's like a Santa Monica bungalow. It's really...
It's like on one of those streets right off Ocean that's, like, kind of those preserved areas.
Right. All right, that's going to do it for this week's Weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show if you like the show. It means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.
Right, gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.